This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM channel 371.
That's Wes, it. How are we doing? First day of July, as you pointed out, and it is 2021, yes. And it's a Thursday. For the note, everybody's
it
good
is.
To go.
It's a Thursday, July the 1st, and we welcome you to Name, Image, and Likeness Land. We're going to scour the internet this morning. We've already got a handful of ACC athletes who have engaged in some name, image, and likeness. We'll show you that. I'm sure there'll be more as the morning unfolds. But our top story this morning, Pac does not have to worry about the zebra cobra that was loose in the state of North Carolina. It has been captured.
How about that job opportunity? Hey, Bob, get your mask. We got a call. Where are we going? We're going over there in the suburbs of Raleigh. Oh, really? Where are we going? We getting a dog, a cat? Nah, man, some snake. One of them cobras spitting and killing snakes. Come on, get your mask on. Let's go. Yeah. How about that job? How about that opportunity?
9 feet.
Job opportunities.
Sam Homewood, longtime listener of the show, sent Pack and I a note. The venomous cobra has a spit of 9 feet.
God. Man. You know what? I'd rather do yard work. I gotta be honest with you. I'd rather actually do yard work than be the dude that's in charge of going to find the cobra.
Venomous cobra.
Jeez, what a gig that is. That's why.
Unbelievable.
That's why you go out to, that's why you work hard and try to put yourself in a position where you don't get the gig of, hey, it's your job to go find the venomous cobra today, right? Where is he? Hey, he's underneath that house. Go grab you a Josh Pastner face shield and get a good attitude and a big stick. And I mean a big stick.
A big
and
stick.
And a burlap sack. Go get him, Bob.
A burlap sack.
Whatever. I'm bringing something.
I want to get an aluminum building.
I'm bringing a machete and a couple machine guns. That's what I'm bringing. Kidding me? What a job that is.
Unbelievable.
Thanks. It's 93 degrees. Right. I'm underneath a guy's house. And I'm looking for a cobra. Well, that's a great job. Anybody getting out of bed this morning with your first cup of coffee complaining, man, I can't believe I got to go to work today. Think about that guy. Think about that guy before you roll out of bed today and say, I hate my job. My life sucks. I don't want to go to work. You could be the cobra getting guy. Just telling you. It's not so bad.
How about the guy in Raleigh working in the suburb, Wake County Animal Control. All of a sudden he gets the phone call. Hey, Bill, we're going to roll over here off Old Wake Forest Road. Yeah, you know the place. Yeah, what are we going to do? Oh, there's a house over there. What's the problem? They've got a 9-foot venomous cobra.
Yeah. You mean it's not? We're not getting Miss Jane's cat from her tree today? No, we got the cobra today, Bob.
Nope.
Better pay attention.
Cobra, Bob. That's it.
Golly, what a job that is. Yikes.
I would expect at some point we have some insightful thoughts of Joe Giglio, perhaps in Charlotte at the kickoff about the venomous cobra.
Forget Joe Giglio. Let's go get Bob. Let's go talk to Bob the hero that's saving lives in Raleigh because the cobra got loose again. I mean, what are we doing?
By the way, people we know live over there in North Raleigh. Got to be worried sick. They're probably up all night until they found out the venomous cobra had been captured.
Loose
on the streets.
Susan, I think you need to walk the dog tonight. I'm not feeling so hot. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
What a job. We need to get the cobra catching guy on the show. Man, that would be funny. Forget Joe Giglio.
Drew?
Let's go get the
Josh.
Guy that looked the cobra right in the eye and said, today, I'm taking you down, cobra. Let's go. I mean, who wants that job? God, crazy. The world is nuts.
By the way, the zebra cobra apparently is regarded as one of the most venomous animals, reptile, on the planet.
Yeah, right. How about on the planet? Did you see?
What are you doing with that at your house? How does that get to Raleigh?
Did you see what the health officials put out as warnings? Things that you shouldn't do? I mean, I was laughing out loud. I mean, can you imagine living in Raleigh, North Carolina, and you see that pop up on your screen? Eyewitness news, breaking news. there's a king cobra on the loose in Raleigh. Here's what the health officials say. You know, don't get close to it. You're like, excuse me.
Don't.
Who wants to get near it? I mean, the list was fantastic. I'm like, oh my gosh, you've got to be kidding me. Who wrote this? Mark Emmert? Please, we get it. We're staying as far away. In fact, the house, we just put my house on the market when I heard the cobra was loose. I'm not living here.
Wow.
I'm moving to Durham.
You know.
Chapel Hill.
Pack, getting out of here. I mean, Pack, you know, there might be some guy roll in from out there in Wendell or Nightdale or someplace like that and say, you know what? I got one of those cobra Mustangs. I think I'm going to go find that cobra, see if I can get that cobra on the hood of my car and make a picture.
Oh, my gosh. What a nightmare. God.
All right.
It's like swimming in the ocean.
So, that's our, yeah, well, there you have it.
Hey, Susan, you want to go out in the rocking chair on the porch? It's a beautiful night. Cobra, no, I'm going to pass on that one tonight. It's not.
Cobra. Venomous zebra cobra's been captured. Drew and Josh right now are lumberjacks are working to see if they can get the representative from the Wake County Animal Control on the show.
I would like to talk to the guy that caught the cobra. I mean, you got to imagine he got it paid a little extra, don't you think? I mean, for the gig?
I think that's a time and a half deal. Time and a half.
I wonder for people that do that for a living if there's like a bonus. Like, hey, if you get the cat out of the tree, it's an extra $2. If you find the dog that's running loose without the leash on, that's $1. If you find the king cobra underneath the porch, that's a $100 bonus. There's got to be like a bonus fee, right? I'm not talking like Bobby Bonilla. Hey, we're going to pay you $1.9 just for showing up. Even though you've been retired for 20 years, I'm telling you, there's got to be some kind of incentive.
Tell you what else we'll do.
Payoff, right?
We're going to give you the $100, and then we're going to take you over to TK Trips and get you some lunch, right back?
Whatever. I mean, goodness gracious, that crazy
Rockola
story.
Go over to the Rockola Cafe, get a little lunch, Pack. You know the old Rockola Cafe.
I've never been there. Never been there.
You didn't go to the Rockola Cafe?
Never heard of it.
Or TK Trips? You didn't do that either?
I heard about TK Trips. If I was there, I don't
remember. What about Benedict's? Do you ever go to Benedict's? Benegan's. Remember Benegan's?
But that was a chain. They were all over the place. The Benegan's in Charlotte was a legendary spot. But I didn't spend a whole lot of time in Raleigh. It's a beautiful place, so gorgeous. Great place to live if you get rid of the snakes.
That big party for you in Charlotte at Plum Crazies. Remember Plum Crazies?
Plum Crazies. I've done Plum Crazies. Now there's a whole long list of places that are no longer in existence here, but
for good reason.
Thank God. There were cobras in that place the night I visited too. As a matter of fact,
yeah, there were. They weren't as venomous as the one they found in Raleigh.
Well, speak for yourself on that. Plenty of poison in the room
now. That fairly true. All right, so we got the cobra captured, which allowed us then to begin the world of name, image, and likeness. And ladies and gentlemen, right here off the top, let's give thanks to the National Collegiate Athletic Association. Hey, never okay. Yes, always wait till the last 24 hours, fellas. No big deal. Nah, no problem at all. Guess what they did? We've got ourselves an interim name, image, and likeness policy to work from. That's right. Yep. They gathered around a Zoom call, I'm sure, and they decided that this policy will allow athletes the opportunity to monetize their name, image, and likeness starting today, regardless of which state they're in. There are a couple of other things there, too, about, compliance issues, but that's no different than any of the state laws that begin today, right, Pack? I mean, they just basically developed a 11th hour, here's the best version we can give you of a combination of the state laws, and happy NIL Day. Compliments of our friends in Indianapolis.
Well, the $3 million pinata basically put the ball in the compliance office of every school in America that does not have a state law in place and say, hey, you guys kind of figure it out. I mean, whatever makes sense with your school, we'll do the best we can in the short term until Congress writes a law that we can all abide by. And that's basically what happened. So 2-year head start to try to get ahead of the curve. They weren't able to figure it out. And at the last second, Mark Emmert dropped it in everybody's lap. But, we got what we got. So, hey, student athletes, go for it. You got a green light, started at midnight. Some have already taken advantage of it, which we'll get into later in the show. I like it, though. I know there's a lot of people that are anytime there's change, people get upset. Oh, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to watch it. It's not the same. It's not the same. We've been trying to tell you that for the last 2 years, that this is going to be a completely, totally new era of college sports. Now, if you grew up a certain way, which we all did, that is now a dinosaur. That is old news. The genie is out of the bottle. So the sooner you kind of either accept it or go find something else to do, this is what we've got. I kind of think it's a neat spot for student athletes. They have more power and control than ever before. They have a chance to be incredibly creative. More importantly, their name, their image, their likeness, they can use to generate dollars. I got no problem with anybody making money if it's done above board. And so I personally don't have an issue with it whatsoever. Will it cause headaches for coaches? Without question it's going to. Is it going to change the way that you may perceive college sports? Of course it's going to. But it doesn't mean that it's a disaster. Could it turn into one? Maybe. If there's no leadership, if the legislation's not written accordingly, it could be a total free-for-all. Now it'll be the disaster of all times when it comes to college sports. So to me, that's the concern. The concern is to make sure that you can at least have some kind of guide that everybody can follow here. But if a student athlete can make money on their image, name, and likeness, what's the problem? I mean, kind of put yourself into their shoes. I mean, Wes, it'd be no different than ESPN or SiriusXM taking advantage of Mark Packer, Wes Durham, because of Packer and Durham, and we don't get a cut. We'd scream. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. You're selling this and this, and I don't get a cut. That's exactly what's been going on for student athletes. So I don't have a problem with it. If it's your name, your image, your likeness, you should get a cut. I don't. What's the problem? What's the issue?
One of the most active players since midnight, at least so far, appears to be Miami quarterback De'Eriq King. Andrea Adelson, who will join us later in this show, has penned an article about King and Mackenzie Milton getting involved with Dreamfields, and she'll be here to explain that. Essentially, King and Milton using their likeness on non-fungible term cards. Basically, it goes back to some of the cryptocurrency things of that nature, as I understand it. Now, second part, De'Eriq King also, according to Jordan Schultz, apparently has entered into an agreement with former Miami wide receiver Amon Richards. You'll remember his career was cut short. Amon Richards now runs a sports marketing company called Legendary Sports All Pro, and King and Bubba Bolden, the Thorpe semifinalist a year ago, have entered into a marketing agreement with College Hunks, a moving company, essentially, and a deal that reportedly will net King $20,000. College Hunks hauling junk. And Schultz points out it's only the beginning for King, and I think we all realize that De'Eriq King, as Eric McLean said yesterday, will be one of the more marketable athletes, at least who we are familiar with from a revenue-generating sport. Now, this is not just the beginning of a association for De'Eriq King. De'Eriq King also launched his own website. We're going to guess it's his. I mean, it's got his name on it, De'ErikKing.shop, where he is willing to sign helmets, memorabilia, sell you a T-shirt, cap, sweatpants, the whole nine yards. Smart. So at least early on, De'Eriq King looked like he was ready to go when this debuted at midnight last night.
It's smart. To me, from a business standpoint, and I love an entrepreneurial spirit in people, I think this makes a ton of sense. Why wouldn't you do it? And by the way, I need to get my hands on one of those College Hunks carrying junk or whatever that was. I need to get before we do a T-shirt Friday. That company needs to send me a T-shirt. But I'll tell you what, I'll buy one. You guys need the cash. I'll buy one. I need one of those for T-shirt Friday. College Hunks hauling junk. You kidding me, Wes? That T-shirt right there,
I need one of those.
If I can buy one of those, I'll buy it. So if that's on De'Eriq's website, I'll check it out after the show. I got to get my hands on one of those.
It's not on the website. I think we'll have to actually go to their site to get
that's
the shirt.
Fine. I'm going to buy one of those. Put me down for one. Yep, I'm in. You guys won't be broke because whatever you're charging for a t-shirt, you got that coming your way. I'm buying one of those. College hunks hauling junk. Love it. Yeah. It's great.
There you go.
I'll tell you what, Wes. I'm going to go on record right now. I'm going on record right now.
Yeah.
It's 7:15 in the morning, July 1st, 2021. Any ACC student athlete, any of you, I don't care what the sport, football, basketball, equestrian, softball, tennis, checkers, rowing, doesn't matter.
Rowing.
Anything you've got that you want me to promote, I will promote it for you on the show. I'll wear it. I will. You just let me know. You want free advertising? I'm all for the student athlete with name, image, and likeness. What better publicity you'd get on the conferences network? I'm doing it. I'm in. Just let me know. I'm not trying to be funny, Wes. I think it's a great idea. I am so for the student athlete being able to come up with some entrepreneurial, creative ideas. That's my world. I love it. So I hope they make a ton of money. I hope they kill it.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Thursday, first day of July. Media days get cranked up here in about 3 weeks. Cannot wait. It's almost that time. July 4th holiday coming up. We'll have some fun with that tomorrow. But right now, Wes, we go to Bristol, home of the smart people. Time for some bold predictions for the upcoming 21-22 ACC sports season. Voice of victory. One of the Lumberjacks.
Happy July, everybody.
Yeah.
Happy July. July 1st,
that's
Josh.
Right.
July 1.
Exactly
Thursday,
right.
July 1st.
Thursday, July 1st. We are here.
Yep.
And as we know, it's a new day, and since we kind of put 2020 and 2021 in the rear view yesterday, let's turn our attention. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can do the math, Mark. Let's turn our attention to 21-22 and do some bold predictions. We'll clip the tape here, see how you guys do. But with today being NIL day around the world of college athletics, let's see what you guys think about this first bold prediction. Which ACC athlete will profit the most off of NIL in the coming year?
Haley Van Lith, Louisville.
Wow. Just went right to it, and there's the video.
Yep.
Haley Van Lith is a really, really strong candidate. I'm going to say De'Eric King. I mean, he's off to a 20K start, according to the Schultz report. But I'm gonna go De'Eric King, but I think it'll be close.
I got a lot of questions. I can't wait for, first of all, not to fast forward this segment, but Carla Williams joins us here in 10 minutes, and I think she is one of the brightest people in college athletics. I've got so many questions for her in regards to this name, image, and likeness, and I hope she can answer. At least head us in the right direction. But it is going to be awesome to watch what personalities take place. And it may not necessarily be the great star. Right. I mean, they're going to be obviously name names, right? But might not necessarily be the ultimate superstar that has the biggest impact in this whole name, image, and likeness. And that, to me, is what's going to be fascinating to watch, to see what buttons are pushed that people relate to. And it may be something that's not, quote unquote, a revenue generating sport. So keep that in mind.
Pack also to that line, remember too, Carla, some of her student athletes were the ones with open messages last night. Hey, as of tomorrow, you know, we're ready.
That's right. We'll get to Carla, because I think she's really smart. I mean, just, I love talking to her. She'll be great. All right. Voice of victory.
I agree.
Of course, the basketball season will be highlighted in part by Mike Krzyzewski's farewell tour. So, which ACC rival will give Coach K the best gift on his farewell tour?
Oh, well, let me think about that one a second. Gosh, that's hard.
I'm going to say Carolina. I'm gonna say Carolina.
Carolina?
I'll say Carolina. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
I just think there's enough history there that they can come up with something that would be interesting. There's enough history there that, like, what if you gave Mike Krzyzewski a ticket from every one of his visits to Chapel Hill in 40-odd years? A copy of the ticket.
You know, I don't have an answer for that. I just don't have an answer for that. I don't know who comes off the hip the most on that. The school that's going to give him the best farewell gift is Duke, because they're writing his check. That's the best gift. I mean, a man can only have so many rocking chairs and grandfather clocks and watches and ticket stubs. That check is sweet now. That's a good one with a couple commas in it. You get those checks with two commas in it. That's a pretty good gift.
That's all.
No, I get that. I don't know. I have no answer for that question. I don't know. Okay. Packer and all Durham. Right. Maybe Packer and Durham come up with the best gift.
Yeah, we got to figure out what we're going to get, Coach.
Mugs, hats. No, we can't do that. T-shirts. No, that's out.
Go, Josh. Josh, go. Go, Josh. Next one.
All right, guys. Last one here for this segment, as Carlo Williams is standing by. So we just wrapped up the college baseball tournament, the College World Series. The ACC had 8 baseball teams in the NCAA tournament in baseball this past year.
Yes.
Meanwhile, in basketball, there were 7. True. In the coming year, will the ACC have more basketball or baseball teams make their respective NCAA tournament?
Baseball.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always been, believe it or not, I think if we went back and looked 10, 15 years since they expanded the field in 99, baseball has always had more teams than in the basketball tournament.
Yeah.
And I would say that that'll be the case again next year too. Might be close like it was this year, but I also mm-hmm. think baseball will still have the advantage.
Yeah, I think it'll be close, but I would lean baseball over basketball.
All right.
Still
good job.
Well represented,
Josh,
in both
you.
Sports.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Thursday, getting you ready for a name, image, and likeness day. Going to be a lot of conversation on almost every show known to man on NIL.
Yep.
And our next guest, we love having her on. She's, as I said earlier, incredibly talented, really bright. You always learn something after you get done with an interview with Carla Williams. She runs the show at the University of Virginia, and she joins us now the very first day of July. Carla, first of all, great seeing you. Congrats on an amazing year. We're into now the next 21-22, but boy, looking back at a crazy year with the pandemic, amazing you got through it like everybody else, but the performances of your student athletes this past year was really remarkable.
Yeah, good morning, guys. It was a remarkable year for many, many reasons, a lot of challenges, difficult for all of us, our coaches and student athletes, and we challenged the department back last June and July to not just survive the virus, but to actually thrive, to find a way to come out on the other side better. And I'm so thankful that everyone took that to heart. Our student athletes did, our coaches did, our staff did, and we look back now and we feel like we did a really good job despite the obstacles.
Carla, did anything about intercollegiate athletics change for the better because of the pandemic?
Well, I know for sure all of us have a greater appreciation for our fans. And we did before, but you know, playing in JPJ, which was practically empty, and being able to actually hear the sneakers on the court in a game was a new experience. You know, running through the tunnel, our football team coming out to the field to 500 people in Scott Stadium. So I know for all of us, we have a greater appreciation for our fans, and everyone's so excited about the fall because we get to have our fans back. So that's a great bonus for us. But yeah, I'm sure we learned a lot. You know, you just, when something that you love is almost taken away, and in some instances it was for some of our sports, you had just have a greater appreciation for it, and hopefully that'll be motivating as we go into next year.
Carla, obviously, name, image, and likeness has gotten the green light. It's July 1. One of the things, I don't know how this is going to work, and really, you're the kind of person that can answer, somebody that's in charge at an institution. How do you police name, image, and likeness, given the fact that the state laws are different, schools are operating kind of in different worlds? You always deal with boosters. You got to always worry and concern yourself with that. How is it policed? How do we make sure that what's taking place at Virginia is equal to something that's happening at Miami or Alabama or Southern California or Ohio State? How does that work?
Yeah, I think we have to start by acknowledging that it won't be equal, and it will be different across the country. Within conferences, it'll be different. And because it's up to each institution to implement their own policies, for us, we'll use all of our staff. So we'll have our compliance office. We've already got several members of our staff that are lending a hand to this effort. And so all of our colleagues across the country are doing the same thing. It's just different. And so, this is an interim measure. We're still hoping that there'll be a federal solution to this so that there will be an equal level playing field across the country.
Did you know, were you aware that a lot of your student athletes last night were going to post basically open for business messages on social media accounts?
Yeah, that's what we expected. I mean, this has been talked about for so many years, and we're finally here. So from a technology standpoint, the student athletes are already ahead of us. they're already tech savvy. They already understand social media and the different platforms. And so not surprising at all that they would, jump right on this when it was approved by the NCAA this week. And so it's our job to try to educate them. We're going to do that, and hopefully this is a good thing for college athletics. Hopefully our student athletes will be able to benefit from the name, image, and likeness, and we're also hoping that their sports and their educational experience won't suffer.
Carla, what's your biggest concern about it?
I think the time. I think that, they're so crunched for time now, so they're going to have to do a really, really good job of balancing how much time they spend on school, on their sport, and then if they decide to dip their toe into this entrepreneurial pool, then it's just going to take a lot of time. So I hope that we've done a good enough job talking with the student athletes about time management, about organization, about priorities, that they'll be able to do it. And I suspect they will. We adjust. The rules have changed through the years for decades, and coaches and student athletes and boosters, administrators have all adjusted. So I expect this will be the same.
Carl, I want to pivot back to the athletic year just completed. I saw a update yesterday on the Capital One Cup, and Virginia's men's sports were in the top 10. In fact, I think you were sixth in the men's standings. I know that's a comprehensive look at just one part of your athletic program, but man, what a great year. I mean, national championship in lacrosse, a College World Series trip in baseball. I mean, all sorts of things. How do you measure the productivity? As somebody who's building this thing collaboratively, obviously, how do you measure it as the new fiscal year starts, I guess?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. So all of those metrics that we normally use to measure our athletic success, how did the pandemic impact that? And did it? Did it in some sports? Did it not in other sports? I think the coaches are the key. Our coaches did a great job of planning and managing and supervising and motivating and making sure that the student athletes stayed true to the safety protocols so that we could compete. And then the student athletes were just phenomenal because they took the safety protocols seriously, and it was just great to see them be able to compete. And so once I think they were settled and comfortable with the protocols, then they could just focus on competing. And they did a great job. I mean, of course, the two national championships were great, women's swim dive and men's lacrosse, and then we had the individual championships in the distance running and also in women's tennis. But there were a lot of superlatives along the way, and I just have to give credit to the coaches, to the student athletes. Our staff also did a wonderful job under some very difficult circumstances. We're all happy it's behind us. We look back on it with a lot of pride about how the year went and how we finished up and how we finished so strong. And we're all just so, we're just thrilled for our baseball program that really struggled, and it kind of epitomized the entire year. There were hurdles that were put in front of us throughout the year, and we had to decide how to clear those hurdles. And baseball, the way that they ended the year, made it into postseason, and then advanced in postseason, was really a testament to all of that. The fact that there are hurdles, you just have to clear them.
Carla, you mentioned time management with the student athlete now that name, image, and likeness is here, and how can they figure out the balance? I'm assuming that also holds true for you and your staff this past season, because there were hurdles and things that you had to deal with that nobody's ever been through before since we're going through this pandemic. From a financial standpoint, I saw a story the other day that you said, you know, we're going to come out of this okay. How difficult was that, and how did you brace for, you knew, a financial tidal wave coming, given the fact that, you know what, the stadiums weren't going to be packed, the baseball, basketball, football, you name it. And how did you cope with that for 2021?
Yeah, that was scary. You know, I think it was scary for all of us back in April and May and June with all of the uncertainty. But I think once we made the decision that we were going to play, and we were going to play football, that was huge, because that kind of gave us the confidence to do everything else. And you know, we learned a lot. An awful lot. I hope we never, ever have to go through anything like that again, for several reasons. And of course, we're playing sports, and other people are living real lives out there with dire consequences related to the pandemic. And so we felt like we could at least be a diversion to our fans, to our community, if we could compete safely. And we were able to do that, again, because everyone committed to the safety protocols. And then once you're able to play and coach and do what you do, the rest of it is fun. You know, and then you start to fall back into a little sense of normalcy that makes it easier to compete for us.
Blake James was with us the other day. By the way, he was with us from some lake in Maine or something. I mean, it was like unbelievable. It was like 50 degrees. He felt like, I mean, it was the most serene thing I've seen in a long time. He talked about the collaborative effort among athletic directors. And I'm going to ask you this, knowing that, you know, you're relatively new still in that pantheon, but a lot of that landscape has changed, Carla, in the last 5 years, including your arrival at Virginia, and now Jim Phillips is the commissioner. What's been the secret to that collaboration? What's been the secret to having seemingly this great communication line of athletic directors and everybody being able to stay on the same page, especially as we, you know, get into NIL and what the new normal will look like?
Yeah, it's so true. But I think in the ACC, our missions are very, very similar. And so that allows us to collaborate. And the collaboration was great. The communication was great. And it wasn't hard, you know, because we do like each other. It wasn't hard for us to communicate and collaborate, because it was difficult, but we were able to ask each other questions. We were able to talk about how we were handling things on the different campuses. Commissioner Swofford was great, and Jim Phillips has been awesome. And so I just think that we are, when you're on the same mission, it's easy to work together, and it's easy to advance. And I think that for us, we decided that we were going to compete, we were going to give our student athletes the opportunity to compete, and we're going to do it as safely as we could. So not just the athletic directors, but all of the chief medical officers for each institution, all of the presidents and chancellors, work together. So that's why we were able to play more football games than any other Power Five conference in the country. That's why we were able to compete and compete at a high level in all of our sports across the conference, was because of that collaboration.
Now, what was your initial reaction to the college football playoff proposal of going to 12? You like it? Concerns?
You know, speaking of things that happened during this year, you know, there were so many things that happened this year. You know, I love the prospects of giving more accessibility to more teams. I love that. But I also understand that we have to take into consideration the student athlete wellness and what do the additional games mean for them. So I'm looking forward to having the conversation. We'll talk more about it later in the summer and in the fall, and then we'll go from there. But I think it's a good thing to always talk about ways to get better.
You got a lot of people going to Tokyo for the Olympics. That's another feather in the cap of Virginia this summer. Pardon the pun on the Cavalier hat and everything there with the feather in the cap.
That's a good one.
But that, you got to make you proud, right?
Very proud. I think we've got 9 rowers who are going to the Olympics. We've got 5 swimmers. You know, so both of those programs had great years. I mean, excellent years. And for women's swim dive to be one of the favorites to win it all in 20, and then for us to have to tell them their postseason was canceled, and then for them to come back with a laser focus and determination to win the whole thing. They wanted to win the ACC. They wanted to win a national championship. So despite the pandemic, they were focused on those 2 goals, and they were able to accomplish that. And then they followed that up with being, I think, 20% of the U.S. Olympic team in swimming. And then rowing is always super competitive in the ACC. And so not surprised at all that Kevin Sauer, again, has several of his former rowers in the Olympics.
By the way, speaking of water sports, we've not spoken to you since you displayed the Carla Cannonball. How's that been? I mean, I know you've been busy. So what's the story with the cannonball effort there? Were you taking it to another level this summer?
Yeah, I was going to do a can opener, but then I decided I needed to do the cannonball. We were so bummed that we couldn't go to the championship because it was just right down the road in North Carolina. And when the team came back, it was actually the president's office. It was their idea for both of us to celebrate with the team by jumping in the pool. And I've done it before. And I think the swimmers, they were surprised that we actually did it. We didn't tell them it. We just told them we were coming to congratulate them. And then all of a sudden, here we are in the water.
You got to be able to celebrate, Carla. You know, there's too much hard work. Yeah. You got to enjoy it when you get there, right? When you cross that finish line, man, go for it.
Yeah, I agree. Totally. It was a ton of fun. I hope we get to do that a lot while I'm here. So I'm
Coach Rick, back in the old days in Athens, Coach Rick used to go off the high dive at the swim facility. So, I mean, you know, I know how you guys get along now. He's going to look and go, Carla, that's just a cannonball. What is that about? You want to impress me, go off the dive, right?
I think it's fair. And I watched him several times do that. I think it's fair. He grew up in Florida going off the high dive. I grew up in Georgia doing cannonballs. So I think it fits.
It all works.
There you go.
It all works. Yeah. It's always a pleasure having you on. We look forward to seeing you in a couple
weeks.
Thank
you so much.
For the kickoff. But continued success and stay healthy.
All right. Thank you. Same to you guys.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Thursday. Many thanks to Carla Williams, Director of Athletics, University of Virginia. I always enjoy our conversations with her. Really smart, sharp. Glad she's in the league. Speaking of Virginia, Wes, we'll have the Brian O'Connor sound in case you missed it from earlier. Virginia's in such good hands with Carla running the show. I can't emphasize it enough. The combination of ADs in this league, I would put up against anybody in the country. I mean, they are, and it's not only are they smart, but it's the most diverse collection of athletic directors in the country, too. especially when you think about what Nina King now taking over at Duke, what Heather Lyk's been able to do at Pitt, phenomenal. But the leadership in this conference is really second to none. And when you, every time you and Vince will be with us coming up next hour as well from Louisville, but you can understand why the conference is in such a good spot. When you say, I say it all the time, if you're weak at the top, you're bound to fail. Well, that's why the ACC is going to be just fine, because the leadership in this conference is outstanding.
Pack, I said this, and again, this is not to, you know, hold anything back to what was done by the forefathers in this league, but given the landscape of where college athletics is right now, you'd be hard pressed to find in this league's history the timing of a better group of athletic directors. Right? I mean, just totally given all the things that are in play and as many schools that are involved, and you think about the backgrounds of all these folks that have now come together to collaborate on what the future of the ACC will be and Jim Phillips' arrival. I mean, all of it ties together. When you put those 15 ADs in the room and the commissioner, whose background in athletic administration at various points on various campuses, it's impactful. It's really impactful. And you got smart business people. You got smart people when it comes to the financials. You got smart people when it comes to understanding kind of that check and balance between the institution and athletic department. David Coburn comes to mind there, right? The athletics director at Florida State, who understands how state appropriations and things like that work. Then you get people like John Wildhack, who clearly understands not only private institution where he went in Syracuse, but also understands how the television dollar works. Then you get Carla Williams, who's worked at the University of Georgia and understands kind of the way the landscape of land-grant institutions goes and things like that. I just think all those things factor into real positives for the ACC moving forward. You know, and it's our fortune to have them come visit with us and share some of that working knowledge with, you know, hopefully we ask the right questions, put everything in front, but our viewers and listeners get an opportunity to hear people talk who otherwise you might not get a chance to hear about the challenges facing them other than the opponent every Saturday or whatever happens in any of their respective sports.
Well, the other thing too, Jim Phillips, the new commissioner, has talked about the importance of football moving forward as far as the driven in terms of the dollars, the eyeballs, all that stuff. And you think about the football mentality in this league. Jack Swarbrick at Notre Dame, part of the working group, one of four guys sitting around going, hey, how are we going to make the college football playoff expand? How does this work? He's been there, done that. Look at the number of folks in this conference from an AD standpoint that have been on the college football playoff committee. Todd Stansberry, Dan Radakovich, Boo Corrigan. So, I mean, this list goes on and on and on from that perspective. So, like I said, the diversity in the league has never been better. I think the intelligent level in terms of, hey, let's park the ego and roll up our sleeves and figure out a way to get through not only a pandemic, name, image, and likeness,
right,
transfer portal, college football playoff expansion, ACC network. I mean, there's so many layers. In addition to what you have to do at your respective school, if you don't have great leadership and really smart people in that spot, you got problems. You got major problems. And like I said, I don't think the league has ever been in a better position from a leadership standpoint than it is right now heading into the 21-22 season.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think it's going to be interesting to watch how these institutions come out on the backside of the pandemic. And I thought Carla was very, very insightful as it relates to a year ago, her concerns financially, and then coming out okay. And okay is pretty good, Pac, given what some went through, right?
Well, when you, if we fast forward and went backwards, if you will, put it in reverse and went back to a year ago, our conversations were all about, hey, are we going to have a season? I mean, and it just, that almost feels like it was 5 years ago and it was last year. I mean, are we going to have, what is it going to look like? Will we even see a single game? People, no people to stay. I mean, we were all over the map. There was just every day your emotions moved, right? You're like, oh my God, there's a chance we could have it. And then the next day, oh man, it doesn't sound good. And I go back to again, at the top, you got to be strong and smart and patient and understand it. And, you know, guys like John Swofford and Greg Sankey and Bob Bowlesby, those three in particular, were calm, cool, and collected when everything was going sideways last year. And, you know, while some conferences said, hey, we're out, we'll catch you later, those three individuals are like, hey, we'll find a path. It's not going to be easy, but let's figure it out. And they did. And really, college sports did. And when you go back and look at the numbers the ACC had as far as games played in football, I mean, how do you argue? I mean, we were beyond lucky and fortunate that we had really talented people at the top figuring it out and did not hit the panic button. They did a great job.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.